Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Rick Kogan, the longtime columnist and radio personality at WGN's on the phone. Hey, Rick, how are you?
I always love that radio personality. But I appreciate it. How are you?
See, that means that not everybody has a personality, but if you have a radio personality, it's even awesomer. You're even more fantastic.
Two hours every Sunday makes me a small personality on the radio. How are you? I miss seeing you those mornings. I filled in for Bob, and we got to talk every day.
Let's talk about Mike Royko. 25 years ago today, the legendary columnist passed away. You're leading a sort of a symposium on him this weekend, aren't you?
It's a sold-out seminar featuring, among others, a former reporter named Don DeBatt, who was a member of Mike's infamous and famous and relatively successful 16-inch softball team. Uh-huh. Don Rose, the longtime political consultant who, and timely too, who helped get Jane Byrne elected when she ran against Mike Palantich in the primary, who knew Mike very well. Mike's widow will be there. A couple of his kids will be there. And we'll just, I mean, the crowd, you know, it's an amazing thing to me, John, that the life of a newspaper reporter is never and hardly immortal. I don't think you could go on the street now. And there are a lot of people who don't remember Mike. You say the name Mike Royko to someone 25 years old. They weren't even born when Mike died, let alone when he wrote. But it does. He has a number of books out there, a number of collections, and he really was as good as it gets in a newspaper in Chicago. People may remember Ben Hecht, but basically because he was a famous screenwriter and co-wrote the front page. But Mike was a daily visitor into the lives of hundreds of thousands of people in this town, many of whom aren't dead yet. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean, of course.
Is Chicago the same town that it was? I wonder what Royko would be saying today, you know?
Good Lord. You wonder, and I would be thrilled, because Mike was, if nothing else, he was absolutely unpredictable in his columns. Would he hate Lori Lightfoot? Perhaps. Would he make fun of J.B. Pritzker? Perhaps. Would he still have mixed feelings about his beloved Cubs? I am pretty sure he would not like the Ricketts family, but that's just one person's guess. I think the reason, Chicago has changed radically, I think. And it sort of showed in the later years where Mike, who was an advocate and a great, great, almost imprint activist for civil rights and a number of other important issues of the time, was in his later years sort of seen as sort of being behind the times. He wrote a satirical column at one point late in his career, making the case that since we cannot control the drugs coming in from Mexico, we should invade Mexico, take it over, and turn it into nothing but a series of golf resorts, which, if you got the satire, was funny. A lot of people didn't get the satire, and they burned a pile of Tribunes in front of the Tribune building when it was on Michigan Avenue, and they burned Royko in effigy on the street. Mike would still, I think, be a great and articulate and very amusing, many times, chronicler of Chicago. And he was, in his time, as good as that got, John. It was a newspaper column that he did most of the time, 5 days a week. And I think if some historian 100 years from now wanted to go back and see, wow, I wonder what Chicago, I was doing some research on writing about Chicago in the 20th century. I wonder who I should consult.
Right.
If he read Royko, and also read Ann Landers, he might have to do no further research. I think he or she would have a real good grasp of what the last half of the 20th century was like in the city. And he was a big personality too, and I think that's one of the reasons that people remember him remember him for having inventing Ribfest and being an incredible 16-inch softball addict and being a, you know, Mike Ditka, after when Mike Ditka got fired a couple of years after the Super Bowl, Mike wrote a column about that and how ridiculously unfair it was and blasting the McCaskies. And Mike carried that column, this is very old-fashioned, he out of the, ripped it out of the paper, tore it out of the paper, and carried it in his wallet. He may still carry that column in his wallet, which that's, talk about an old-fashioned thing. No, he's not going to call it up on his phone. It's folded up in his wallet. But he spoke, you know, he spoke Chicagoese. The city is wildly different. The Billy Goat, his favorite tavern, is still around. But even that place has changed over the years.
Well, it has.
He spoke Chicago.
It's funny you say all of that because he, I think, was the voice of the common man. And even created a common man character, which I'll ask you about in a second. But I just wanted to also mention what Mary Schmeek posted about Mike Royko. And she said, taverns are full of common people with opinions, folks more than happy to be blunt and grumpy and speak their minds. Same with newsrooms, actually, seeming to speak for them, writing as Royko did with such pitch that the reader almost forgot he was reading, is not a stenographic skill or a talent that belongs anywhere near the word common. Mary's writing about how he would articulate the voice of the common people in their voice, but it was not a common skill. She said, you don't get nearly pitch-perfect columns by free associating at the keyboard or simply tapping into a distinctive personality. Royko got them as often as he did by hard work, revealed by careful readings of his best efforts and the disciplined exercise of unusual ability and wit. Making it look easy was part of how difficult it was. Well put, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. Mary was a great columnist and is a great writer, and she is scheduled to be at this Edgewater Public Library event we're having this Saturday afternoon that is totally sold out, but it's going to be streamed.
Yeah, you can watch
live
it,
live streamed by the Edgewater Historical Society, and Mary is scheduled to be there, and we'll Mike liked Mary very much, and Mary liked Mike very much, and Mike thought in his pleasantly sexist way, you know, that girl is, she must do yoga or something. And I didn't even know yoga. Mary was a yoga instructor.
You talk about being a little dated. I mean, I could see him saying the wrong thing these days. The tolerance is a lot less these days.
It started to become less. Mike was, I think, one of the first. He was not canceled, as the current phrase has it. But he was... He hit that, you know, sort of politically, the first wave of political correctness, when it just got very touchy, especially in newspapers, to say anything, even though it was something people were sharing it in saloons or at work or something, that he was not victimized by political correctness. One of the things people didn't realize is Mike never changed. Mike's attitudes about life never changed in his in his many years and his some 8,000 columns. The world changed. The world changed. And I think it's a good thing, not a good thing that he died. And I think he would have kept writing until he fell over at his keyboard.
Yeah.
But it would have, you're right, John. You're absolutely right. It
would have been difficult for him today.
Oh, my God. Well, one of the great things was Mike answered his own phone and he took many of his the complaints against him by himself and dealt with them too, and it offered people at the time, you don't like that column, what do you pay for it, a quarter or a dollar, whatever it was, what's your address, I'll send it to you. That's how he dealt with it. There are a lot of collections out there of Mike's work that people can
I'm out of time, Rick. Let's do this. So for folks that want to catch the stream, do you happen to have the website in front of you?
I don't, but people are smart. The people who listen to your show are smart. Go to the Edgewater Public, the Edgewater Historical Society is live streaming this from the Edgewater Library Branch, 2 to 3:30 Saturday afternoon.
The Edgebrook Historical Society Facebook page has got everything you need, including Rick Kogan. All right, Rick, thanks for your thoughts today. Well done.
Good to talk to you, pal. See ya.